Wait, you go to church? I would have never guessed that. You go to church? No, you seem so different than the church people I know. Really? You go to church? You know, Jesus was regularly criticized for the company he kept. The Pharisees complained that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. How could this man be a faithful Jew if he didn't abide by the purity laws, let alone be a teacher and be given the name rabbi? This man healed on the Sabbath, forgave the sinners, and he claimed he had the authority of God to do so. Blasphemy, thought the Pharisees. Their reaction to the actions of Jesus are a lot like our new question for today. But maybe instead of, you go to church, it was more like, you're a faithful Jew? Or even, you are a teacher of Jewish law? There are two lifestyles that might elicit this question, do you go to church? Both of which were present in our skit this morning. One is because we live a lifestyle that seems to contradict with someone who might claim to be a person of faith. It may be the way we treat others, the way we conduct our business, or the way we carry ourselves. When those that know us outside of the church see the way we live, they note that our faith clearly doesn't seem to inform any other aspects of our living, so much so that some might not even know that we have faith. But some may say, you go to church, because they see you as a kind, compassionate person, a completely different view of Christians than what they see in the media. Jesus confused those who saw how he lived, not because he lived a life that was immoral, even though, of course, the Pharisees thought he was, but because he lived a life that exuded love in a different way than was typical of the religious leaders of the day. We cannot deny that people of faith have gotten a bad rap today and throughout history, and some of these negative views are not unfounded. Faith has, since the time of Constantine, been co-opted by our political sphere in a way that taints and corrupts it. Whether for success or for approval ratings, it too quickly gets manipulated when it's in the hands of those in power. The prosperity gospel is alive and well with the increasing popularity of televangelists. And all of these views of Christianity in pop culture and in history make it even more important that we show others a different way. And when others see us lead with compassion, kindness, and humility, they may be surprised that there are people of faith that look so different than what they've seen. One of the ways we show another way of living is not by pretending to be righteous, but acknowledging the fact that we are broken. When I was a child, I had a video that I watched probably 100 times, and I was pleased to discover yesterday that if you YouTube it, you can watch it as well. It is online. It's called The Donut Man. This donut man told Bible stories and had what he called a donut repair shop. And as he told Bible stories, he took his donuts with a hole and talked about how God fills our hole, and he would repair the donut. See, God is good. We are like a donut who looks whole on the outside, but in the center of each of us, something is missing. But through Christ, we can be made whole. This is the donut hole truth. This is the good news, not that we are righteous, but that we are broken. And Christ meets us in our brokenness to make us whole. To the Pharisees' concern about Jesus spending time with impure people, he said, "Those who are well need no physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The irony of this text is that there is not a single person who is truly righteous and therefore not in need of Christ. In fact, Jesus not only didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but cannot call the righteous to repentance, because they will have convinced themselves that they have no need of salvation. Like the Pharisees who hid their brokenness behind their rules and their right living. Not one of us is completely whole. But unfortunately, the world sometimes sees Christians as pompous and hypocritical because of the way we also hide our brokenness behind rules and right living. We communicate our righteousness by being judgmental towards others rather than confessing God's grace in our own lives. We are much more quick to point out the dust in another's eye than acknowledge the log in our own. We are much more willing to point out the sin we see in another than to be vulnerable enough to confess our own. We need to learn how to share the gospel in a way that acknowledges not our righteousness, but our brokenness, because not one of us is whole enough to stand in front of Christ and say, "I don't need you." The world doesn't need another leader, religious or secular, who claims to be infallible, perfect in every way, and couldn't possibly be broken. This is a story that those outside the church see right through. They know it is contrived and quickly falls apart. We have to be willing to tell our own story of what God has and is doing in our brokenness so that another narrative gets out there. Along these lines, I would like to share some personal testimony this morning. I would like to share my story because, first of all, as your pastors, I think it's important that you know Pastor Tim and I minister not out of a sense of obligation, because it's our job, but because God is active in our lives. I also have a story to tell that I think embodies how we can share about Jesus who comes not for the righteous, but for the broken. I'm not sharing this story out of a desire for pity. In fact, if you share pity with me on your way out today, I will know you missed my point entirely. I'm not sharing this out of a need for advice, but Tim and I both would appreciate your prayers. Almost 2 years ago now, I was diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome, which was discovered after a year of trying to get pregnant without success. And after becoming a patient at a fertility clinic and undergoing a year of failed treatments, I have also been told that I have unexplained infertility on top of PCOS. Tim and I are now 3 years into the journey of infertility, and it's been the hardest, most painful, most trying, most beautiful time of my life. It's been hard for us to share this story because it makes us feel vulnerable. But God has been so good to us through these painful years that I cannot help but share my testimony. I do not believe for a second that God is testing us or has in any way caused our infertility. But I do know that God can make anything in us that feels broken into something beautiful if we invite God into the journey. Through this process, Tim and I have only grown stronger in our marriage as we have cared for each other and lifted each other up. There have been days when I have felt like I could minister in a more compassionate and caring way because of what I've been experiencing. And throughout this journey, God has put people in my life at the right time to walk alongside me, people who have had similar experiences, people who are willing to pray for and encourage me on the hardest days. Some days I am very angry. Some days I am tired and I want to give up. Some days I get stuck in the unanswered or unanswerable questions like, why me, why now, why this? But in my struggle, I have felt like Jacob wrestling with God. And in that wrestling, I have never felt closer to my God. When we truly wrestle with God like Jacob, when we ask the hard questions and make the painful observations, we find ourselves not in a tussle with God, but in an everlasting embrace. God has never made a promise to me in this process that Tim and I will ever have a child. But God has promised that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. My journey these last 3 years have brought new meaning to the truth that God is always with me. For too long, I was caught up in a false gospel that all I have to do is have enough faith and all my grandest hopes and dreams will be given to me. I don't know what will come of this journey or when and where this journey will end, but I know that God has been and God will always be with me. I am like one who is sick and in need of a physician, and some days quite literally. I continue to struggle with my own feelings of brokenness, and yet I know that Christ came to redeem even me, and that love makes me whole. Through Christ, God's kingdom is breaking in on earth, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it. That doesn't mean that the people of God are without struggle. In Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway, he wrote, "The world breaks all of us, but some of us tend to become strong at the broken places." So like a teacup that falls to the ground and breaks, we're all broken. We can try to glue back the pieces and make it as it once was, but we're never as strong as we were. Hemingway's words that we can be strong at the broken places defies logic, but in it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each of us has a story to tell about our brokenness and the donut hole truth, or the teacup truth, of our need for wholeness. Next week in Sunday school, we will discuss what it means to be able to share our story of faith. And Pastor Tim and I challenge you over the next week to think about how God has been with you and how you might gather that story all into one gospel story. It doesn't have to be a dramatic tale, one with twists and turns and near-death experiences, but each of us has a story that shows how the gospel is taking shape in our own lives. And we hope to give many of you a chance to share, even with our own church, over the next year. If we can learn to tell our stories of how God has been faithful to us in authentic ways, our stories become a form of evangelism that is invitational. They may even lead people to say, "You go to church?" Not because your life isn't reflective of someone who has faith in God, but because your humility and your commitment to Christ, even in the hard times, is beautiful. For we are all in need of the great physician who comes to make us whole. May we love to tell that story of all that God is doing in our lives. And let's begin even now as we stand and sing our closing hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story."